Welcome to The Sober Effect, a show that looks at the positives of sobriety, the dangers of alcohol, and the many people who are affected by it. I'm Kate.
And I'm Steph. The ripple effect of alcohol is far-reaching, and those are the stories you'll hear on The Sober Effect.
So today, Steph, we're going to answer some questions that have been given to us by some of the listeners. Mm-hmm. And they're just completely random. And we had quite a few and we've whittled them down to five or six. Should we just get started?
Yeah, I'm excited to answer these. These are some really good questions.
So the first one, can you describe a specific moment or experience that was pivotal in your decision to pursue sobriety?
Shall I go first?
Yeah, go for it.
So for me, it was my anxiety. Obviously, I've talked about that before, but that was probably my biggest pain point. That was the biggest, you know, driving force in my decision because it was really getting debilitating. Like I was really having a hard time functioning and realizing how much I was relying on alcohol to get rid of it. And I had a couple pivotal moments before I got sober. One was 4th of July. So we were beginning of July. And that weekend, I remember drinking a lot. And I remember feeling extremely anxious. And I also remember getting up and I had like this moment of like, okay, I'm pretty sure I'm still drunk because the anxiety wasn't there. But I also knew I had like a very short window before I was going to crash and that anxiety was going to spike. And I remember saying, you need to make yourself a drink and just keep this going. And I made a drink and I went into the bathroom to get ready for the day. And I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, Steph, if you need to do this, like if you need the thing that makes you feel so shitty to make you feel better, like that's addiction. Like this is a drug. It's like the first time I like called myself out on it. But it didn't make me stop because of the fact that like it was the only thing that was making me feel better. But I think what finally made me stop was, you know, I had a really bad hangover on vacation that November, started Googling things. So I was always trying to get rid of my anxiety, finding ways, trying to figure out what's causing it. And I remember I always came back to the fact that when I was pregnant, my anxiety went away. And I'm like, what was different? They never admitted that alcohol was the difference, right? Because up until then, it's always been alcohol makes you calm. Alcohol is the answer. So I think that was a huge pivotal moment too when I realized it's in your face. Like clearly it's alcohol. You went 9 months without alcohol and never had an anxiety attack and you actually felt really good. You have to give this a shot.
I think that's great. And I can actually imagine you standing there in the bathroom and it hitting you because I think mine, I mean, obviously me filming myself drunk the last night that I drank is my kind of pivotal moment. That's when things changed because I had to face reality. I had proof of what I was actually doing, what I actually looked like and how I actually felt because it's very easy to forget, not only because when you drink, you forget, but you can convince yourself it wasn't that bad and it won't be bad tonight. I'm just going to have a couple. But actually having proof on your camera of yourself and how cringy and embarrassing it is. And also the fact that I was clearly very upset and I was saying, please stop this. This isn't who you are. This is the drug that's making you like this. Just please, just pull yourself together. Stop doing this to yourself. Try without it. See what you're capable of without it. All the things that I knew I was thinking, because I knew alcohol was bad for me for so long. And I had recently, I'd say for a couple of years, realized that my first thought in the morning was always, why did I have to have a drink last night? Every day. So I was very much aware that it was creating negative thoughts in my head first thing every day. So there was definitely something going on in the background, but it wasn't big enough to make me stop. And I think that video is definitely what did it because it was there and there was no hiding. It's a bit like you standing there with a drink in your bathroom during the day saying, I'm going to drink this because it will make me feel better. You can't pretend it's not happening. It's literally there. The evidence is there and you have to make a decision. And then you have to say, right, here are the facts. What am I going to do now? And actually, luckily, both of us said, let's do this. We have to stop. I cannot imagine what would have happened if I hadn't filmed myself, whether I'd still be drinking. You know, I just don't know whether something much worse would have happened, whether I have had an accident. So for me, it was one of the best things I've ever done in my life, pulling that phone out. And at the time, I don't know what I was thinking. I mean, I can't remember it.
Right.
But I obviously just thought desperation come on, somewhere inside, I think I probably knew, watch this. So yeah, that was definitely mine, without a doubt, on the 20th of December, 2 years ago.
That's so powerful. You know, I've seen that video, and it is, it's like, you can't deny the distraught and the hurt and the shame, you know, coming from you in that video. So I'm sure like seeing that sober was very jaunting.
I still just watch clips of it. I don't think I've actually sat down and watched it all the way through. Wow. It makes me feel so ill and ashamed and sad for that person. But I think I need to at some point, but it's not going to be today.
Yeah. All right. So the next question is, how has your perception of yourself changed since becoming sober? Have you noticed any shifts in your self-esteem or self-image?
It's such a good question, because this is one of the things that I think really helped me in the early days, because I was Googling before and after photos. I could not get enough of it, because you'd see all these people and then here's them 6 months sober, a year sober, 2 years sober. And it was like, I cannot get enough of this. Show me more, because they looked like different people. And I think for me, absolutely, once you take shame and guilt and embarrassment out of your life as a kind of regular daily occurrence, of course your self-esteem is going to skyrocket. And physically, we look so much better. You know, 2 or 3 months in, when I started to really notice the difference, because it did take that long for me, you know, I suddenly dropped a stone in weight in the third month. And I just looked younger. I looked better than I did 10 years before. And I felt proud of myself. And I hadn't done that for so long. So all of these things combined, and waking up in the morning and thinking, I'm really proud of myself, I've done another day, you know. And I was a big day count person. I had a diary and I put a big cross every day in it and I added them up. It was one of the first things I did in the morning. So it was such a different way to start the day, as opposed to the way I've just described after answering the first question. So absolutely, it's changed everything. And, you know, I feel like I'm a nicer person to be with. I enjoy my company more, but I'm also a better friend and a better mother and all the other stuff as well. What about you?
Yeah, I think for me, I mean, obviously, I agree with everything you said. As far as the change in my appearance was actually crazy to me. Like, I cannot believe how much that changed, especially like my face. I look at old pictures and I was so puffy. You know, we've talked about that. Like, it's wild. I remember my daughter saying to me one day, oh my gosh, mom, your cheekbones look so good. Like, I know, I actually have cheekbones. I never did. Like, I was just so swollen from like the retainment of fluid from the alcohol. But like, for me, the bigger things are like, I've noticed it's more of a realization of like who I was as a drinker compared to like who I am now as a sober person. You know, the alcohol really kept me, I guess, safe. In a way, like, it kept me as a people pleaser. I always pushed myself to socialize when I really needed downtime, you know, so I just would grab alcohol to help me get through that. I wasn't a very patient person, and I was a very irritable person, but I kept it in. So it was.
But do you think that's because you were being forced to be the person who you knew you weren't? Because it's really interesting to reflect on what you're saying. Because you're like, I was in this safe space. You weren't being yourself.
No.
You were a puppet. You were doing what everyone else wanted you to do. That's quite a scary way to live, isn't it? So that must have had to come out at some point.
And I think that that's what the alcohol was doing, was helping me like push through that and numb through that and numb out basically all these thoughts that were really me just saying, I don't want to do this. Like, I would rather just be hanging out by myself right now, or like having some downtime with my family. But it was constant. Like, we had the party house at our old house. Like, we lived in a neighborhood. The minute we were home, everyone was coming over to drink. And it was like, we never had family dinners because there was always people at the house. And it was just, I put a lot of my wants and my needs and my desires of a life on hold and on the back burner to appease other people, because other people loved coming over. It made them happy. That's what I used to make myself feel good. And so now that I'm sober, I don't do that anymore. I think of myself first, especially when it comes to events or doing things. Like, do I really want to go do this? And I'm realizing there's a lot of things that I just would care less to do. And then there's things that I'm finding that I like to do. It's kind of a hard realization too, because it almost feels hypocritical, because I have changed so much. And a lot of people have seen that and they've exited my life and they probably feel a little slighted, like they didn't even know me. But to be fair, I didn't know me either.
It just shows what alcohol does to you, because mm-hmm. you've always been Steph.
Yeah.
You are the same person. There's no yeah. denying that. You haven't had a soul swap or a body swap.
Right.
But the fact is, that's what alcohol does. Mm-hmm. It changes you so much. It changes what you want to do, the way you behave, the choices you make, the people you hang around with. And that's kind of what you're getting at here. It's yeah. by saying when you eliminate alcohol, your decisions change. And obviously, when we're not pumped full of drugs, we make decisions that are good for us, which therefore means the decisions we were making before were to make other people happy or to be that sociable person. Oh, I love the fact we're the cool house that everyone yep. wants to come to. That's exhausting.
It's so you know,
and expensive.
Yeah. I mean, hours on end, staying up late, having to get up for work the next day, and just not looking after myself and putting myself first. And I think when you decide to do that in sobriety, unfortunately, you learn really quickly who was there for you and who was just there for the enabling and the partying. And that's just probably been a huge thing that I've gone through. But I would say, like, it's actually helped my self-esteem, honestly. Like, nothing feels better than to pick yourself first, say no to something you don't want to do, and then settle in on the couch that night just feeling complete bliss because you're not at some football watch party that you didn't want to go to in the first place. You know, like mm-hmm. there's this satisfaction that comes with that for me. And it just, like I said, I think the biggest thing is just I've learned to choose myself.
I agree with everything you've said. And I think anyone listening who's got a few months sober under their belt, and probably a year, because it took me that long to understand what was happening and to actually let the dust settle, to work out mm-hmm. which friends were still around and which friends I would still have a good relationship with both ways. Like, some people wouldn't want to hang out with me. And I, as I've said before, I hardly ever get asked out anymore. And I used to be asked out 2 or 3 times a week.
Yeah.
But that's because they're going out drinking and they know I don't want to. But do I want to see some of those people for a walk? No, I don't. Because they were fun when I was drinking and they were drinking. But now I don't have anything in common with them. But that's fine. There's a time and a place. You're meant to evolve as humans. You're not meant to, at 18, decide who you are and that's it. You're stuck with it for the rest of your life. That would be so sad.
Boring.
You know, we're constantly changing. We're constantly assessing our friendship groups, our romantic relationships, our work situations, where we live. These things change all the time and they should change. And if they don't, it should be because you've thought about it and you're like, no, this is exactly where I want to be. But this is a big one, isn't it? Sobriety,
mm-hmm.
because everything changes, even the things you like to eat. Because I would snack on crap at night.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I hardly do that. I have a biscuit every now and then. And I still like crisps, but I don't eat nearly as much crap as I mm-hmm. used to. Even my food habits have changed. You know, my sleep, the people I hang around with, you know, my energy levels, the way I wash my face, you know, all these different things, every single aspect. And when people say, what's changed? You're like, it's easier to say what hasn't changed. You know, my feet are still the same size. Let's yeah. start with that. Because it has a knock-on effect, a domino effect yeah. on every part of your life. You know, your body shape changes. Because as you say, you get rid of all that excess fluid retention. Mm-hmm. So you lose that puffiness and discover your cheekbones. And it's definitely a lifestyle change and a mental oh, yeah. one as well. And you've got to prepare for it. This is why it's good to talk about it, because you mm-hmm. have to understand that. I thought naively it was about not drinking and that's all yeah. that was going to change. I was, because I didn't have access to sober communities. I didn't know they existed. So I didn't know any of this for the first few months. I was just mm-hmm. doing it alone. And now I can see everyone talks about the massive change it has. And I think it's really important to share that.
Yeah.
Right. Are there any significant relationships in your life that have evolved or strengthened as a result of your sobriety?
Yes, for sure. I feel like probably the two most important relationships, which is the one with my husband and my daughter. And I mean, I just feel like we're closer than ever. It's kind of a hard thing to admit because I never would have classified myself as like this horrible drunk who was mean or like would get in fights, but I was definitely irrational and irritable and had zero patience. And so in contrast, a lot of fights or just being annoyed with my daughter and not wanting to like do stuff with her came from this not feeling well from the alcohol. But because I didn't know any different and was doing it for so long, it just becomes the norm. And then when I quit drinking and I started having more patience and having more time to spend and do things, then I see how that lights my daughter up. And then I see how my husband and I aren't having these stupid fights anymore because I'm not looking at things through this foggy lens of irritability. And it's just, it's really, really changed those relationships, you know, because alcohol just was center stage for such a long time. And now it's just like our quality time with each other has become the main focus, supporting each other. There's just so many things that my sobriety, me taking that huge step, because let's admit, that's like the biggest step most of us will take in our lives, has just started this momentum within my family dynamic. And it's inspired them to take on things that they never thought that they could do. You know, one example would be my daughter with homeschooling. I mean, I don't think we would be doing that if I was still drinking. For one, I wouldn't have wanted to do it because it would cut into that 3 o'clock drinking time. And I would be too tired and too impatient to sit down and help her with schoolwork and things like that. And I know that because of COVID. I mean, that's what we did during COVID. And I drank heavily throughout COVID. And I remember being so annoyed. And I couldn't wait till 3 o'clock when school was done and I didn't have to deal with her anymore. And she knew it. I was very verbal about that. And I look back on that and I'm like, that's really sad. Because, I mean, for a lot of people, COVID brought them together because now their kids are home and they're home with their kids. And I didn't see it that way. And, you know, it's really sad to say that out loud, but it's the truth. And I don't think like that anymore. Now look at, I'm like, yeah, you want to do online school? Let's do it. You know, let's, why not? If that's what you want and that's how you're going to thrive.
And you've done some courses with her, haven't you? Like yeah. You've done some of the stuff. I think that's so cool.
It is. And we learn so much. Like she'll have a question about something and we'll Google it together. And like, I'm like, because some of the stuff I don't know, you know, her interests are a little different than mine. But like, that's what's so cool about doing homeschool. Because you're not stuck with the one curriculum that everyone has to learn, that some people don't really care about life science, you know, like it has nothing to do with what they want to do in life. And so it's like so cool for her to be able to look into things that she really wants to learn about and is curious about, and we can make it a lesson. And so, yeah, it's just, it's been really, really cool. What about you, Kate?
Well, basically the same as you. Everything you've said is the same. I think one other addition is, you know, I've become much more patient with other people. So, for example, there's a girl who I volunteer at a local gallery, and there's a girl who wanted to do an internship. And so I've kind of taken her under my wing, and I met her the other day for coffee, and I went through everything, and I've been emailing her, and I'm helping her write press releases. And I would have found that so annoying before because it's like, this is not work I have to do. And it's hard enough to focus on the stuff I have to do. But I loved it. And I liked taking time out. I enjoyed meeting her. And I like the fact that I'm helping someone who really needs experience. And I feel privileged that she's come to me and that I'm able to help her. And that is such a difference. Because before it would just be, and what was I rushing for anyway back then? I was rushing to sit on my ass and drink wine in front of the TV. It's so sad. And if I'm rushing now, it's because there's something really exciting happening and I can't wait to get to it. But yeah, I feel like I've got a lot more time for other people, a lot more patience, because I am not a patient person at all. Like literally, I'll drive 5 miles out of the way just so the car's moving because I just don't want to sit in traffic. And as you say, the lack of arguments is a huge one because things just don't wind me up as much anymore. Mm-hmm. And actually, when things go wrong, instead of getting instantly wound up and thinking, this is my fault, well, what did I do? And what did I say? And oh, well, I've quite embarrassed myself last week with them. And you just think, no, this is how I feel. If this clashes, then it clashes and, you know, take care, let's go our separate ways. It's no big deal. That's just life. And I genuinely feel that way and I move on with my life. Whereas before I would have made it into a drama because my thoughts weren't properly connecting because I was tired and I was drunk and I was hungover and I was all these other things because my mind wasn't perfectly focused or as perfectly as it's ever going to be. Mm-hmm. It took so much more energy to make decisions and to work things out and to make sense of things. Whereas now it just seems to come immediately and I know, and it's like, yeah, that's it. So it's just easier. And that means there's more time for fun, doesn't it?
Yeah. And the whole time thing, I agree with you. I remember realizing, like, I remember it just hitting me one day. I was coming home from something I don't remember, and it was in early sobriety, and I just felt this need to like hurry up and get home. And then, you know, that was a time where I was really investigating things like that when they would come up, and I'm like, well, why? And I realized that I was just so used to like making sure everything important was done by like 3 o'clock, because then at 3 o'clock is when I would start in with the drinking. And so, you know, then we didn't drink outside of the home very often. So it was like, I knew I would be stuck at home because I'm not going to drink and drive. Like, I was very aware of the trouble I could have gotten into. So I kind of like just imprisoned myself into like staying in my little area.
How much did you drink? Because if I'd started drinking at 3 o'clock, I would have been a bottle and a half in by 5:30. Mm-hmm. How much did you drink? Were you quite good at pacing yourself?
Well, I did. I wouldn't drink wine that early. Wine would be later. So that was more, I would drink these seltzers. So they're called White Claws here. And I don't know, I could probably drink probably by 10 o'clock. I was probably close to 9 or 10 of those in. And then
I don't know what they are or how strong they are.
They're pretty strong. They're stronger than a beer. They're definitely stronger than a beer, and they're easier to drink than a beer because they're just carbonated water basically with alcohol. So beer always made me full, which is why I didn't drink a lot of it, because I couldn't get as drunk as I would want to get because I would get too full. These were like drinking water. And then I would switch to wine because I felt like wine helped calm me down to go to sleep.
I know, Steph, don't. All that red wine, cozy fire. Isn't it nice? I'll have lovely dreams and it's good for me and good for my health. And it's just not. It's just not, is it? It was all a big fat lie.
It was.
I mean, I wish we could have pictures of us flash up of us 3 or 4 years ago compared to now, because we're like different people. We're like the ugly cousin. Look at this photo of Steph and Kate's ugly cousins and, you know, pictures of us from back then. You'd go, yeah, I can tell you're related, but not really. You know, you're not twins. It's that drastic, isn't it? Not so that you can't tell, but it is shocking. And some people more so than others. And it's not always to do with weight, is it?
Mm-mm.
It's the happiness. And I think when you're sober, you've got this glint in your eye.
Yeah.
There's a lack of this dull, staring white shark staring through the murky waters, not really looking anywhere, but looking everywhere. Whereas when you're sober, your eyes are fresh. They're moving around. The whites are white and you can actually see them because the rest of your face doesn't look like a beach ball.
Right. I know. I feel like the shape of my eyes changed a little bit.
But they would have. I mean, because everything around them.
Yeah. Just seemed brighter and bigger. So the next question, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you encountered any unexpected or surprising revelations about yourself during your journey to sobriety? If so, how have you embraced or navigated these discoveries?
So I really should have read these before our chat because I haven't, and I haven't thought about them. Any unexpected or surprising revelations about yourself? I think the main one is that I am an introvert. And I've always been the most extroverted person I know. And I'm not really 100% sure I know what I'm talking about because I often don't. But I mean, I say I'm an introvert. I am very confident and I always have been. I don't know where it comes from. I must have had parents who I did. I had parents who said, you can do whatever you want. Go out there and get it. You don't have to follow a line of people. You don't have to do it anyway. I was sent to an amazing school where they also said, find what works for you and do it. If you want to take your book, get up from your desk and go sit on the field and read it, do it. If that's what you need. You know, and I was incredibly lucky to be able to go to a school like that because I did go out and I would climb a tree. I've always been very confident with who I am, but I've always been at the center of loads of people, loads of noise. I've always been out. I would have gotten bored immediately when I was on my own at home. I would have needed noise around. Now, I absolutely love it. I genuinely look forward to a day when I know I'm going to be on my own. And actually, I've just booked yesterday a holiday and I leave in 2 days and I'm going away on my own to Spain for 5 days. And I'm just ridiculously excited about the fact that I can go and sit by a pool or sleep or walk around the old town and not talk to anyone for a whole day if I don't want to. I mean, it's so exciting. And I didn't know that about myself. I thought I was like this life, not the life of the party, but the sacrifice of the party, but the one in the middle, the one who was always up for it.
Yeah.
And I was always up for it. And I thought that's who I was, but it was the alcohol. And it was because I wanted more alcohol. So I would throw myself into the situations and I'd be the last standing because I was the one who wanted to carry on drinking, not because I was just full of energy and loved being around people. I think that's been the biggest thing. And I've just crocheted my first scarf. Thanks to you. You got me onto that. I never thought I'd be someone who did anything like that. Like literally in my wildest dreams, no. So things like that. And I think I'm only really starting to get to know who I am now after over 2 years, but allowing myself to really just sit in the peace and the quiet and say, be honest, Kate, do you want to do that or not? Kind of like you were saying earlier, by allowing myself to do that, I'm finding out who I am and I'm so excited to see who I become. And I think that's the key, is that there's so much I don't know because I haven't developed properly. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
I think that's such a cool statement, looking forward to that, because we didn't have that when we were drinkers. The future was not that bright. It was, how are we getting through the next day? You know,
yeah.
Like, how are we going to tolerate where we're at? You kind of feel stuck. You don't feel like you have as much opportunity because
just get to the next drink.
Yeah, let's just get through. This is life, right? This is what life is. Yeah. You go to work, you hate it, you're miserable. Or you think you are. I feel like sometimes I just would create it so I would have like a really good reason to drink. Alcohol loved the drama. Like I look back at some of the stuff I used to worry about and I'm like, yeah, okay. But yeah, I think it's like, it opens the door. You can see further into the future and yeah, you have this excitement about life again and you just know like there's no end in sight. The possibilities are really endless.
It's an evolving future rather than a plodding through.
Right.
Getting through and then drugging yourself so that you start 5 steps behind yourself again tomorrow and you have to get back to this point. It feels like that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But what about you with unexpected or surprising revelations about yourself?
Yeah, because it like ties into that, because there was a time where my negative self-talk was really bad and it would talk me out of anything, like anything that I would want to try to do. I would instantly feel like I just didn't have what it would take to do those kind of things, like, oh, that's just not who I am. But then I didn't know who I was, but I definitely wasn't that. You know, it was really easy. I've tried so many different jobs and probably didn't give them the right amount of time. And I definitely didn't give them the right amount of like clear headedness. You know, I drank a lot through them and wasn't thinking clearly. But this isn't about regret by any means. This is about learning from that. But for me, it's just like, but the podcast itself has surprised me. The fact that I've been doing podcasting for almost 2 years and I never would have thought that I would have been compelled to do that, let alone had the confidence to speak my mind. And you're putting yourself out there. We're voicing our opinion on things. And with that can come scrutiny, and doing it anyway to be true to yourself. It's something that I enjoy doing. It's something that I feel gives back to a community that really helped me. And I've never experienced anything like that when I was a drinker. I had a community, but it was way different, let me tell you. We were not doing podcasts and inspiring people. Like, we were sitting around telling the same stories and laughing about how much we were drinking. And like, that's just a really sad way to go through life. So I would say, I guess the two words that stick out for me that have like changed is like, consistency and patience. Like, those are two things I didn't have as a drinker. And now I feel like those are like two key elements that I try to use with any new endeavor and or trying something new or trying to work through a problem in a relationship, is the consistency and the patience. And I think those are like probably the two things that I've embraced the most, because it's brought me so much. You know, I get more out of that when I use those tools.
Right. This is a big one. I have a feeling we're going to answer this one differently, but let's see. Do you miss the old you?
I don't miss the old me, but I have a lot of love and a lot of admiration for her because, you know, she's the one that got me sober. And I get emotional every time I say that, like every time I think about that person and like what she had to do, the hard work and everything she had to feel like physically, mentally to get me to this point. Like, I don't miss her, but I have a lot of love and respect for her and I honor her. And I think back on her fondly now instead of how she used to think of herself. What about you?
The opposite. I do miss the old me. I miss the old me as in the kind of the cheeky, naughty family friend that comes around once a year and that everyone looks forward to seeing. You know, I had so much fun and I smiled so much and I went out and I feel like I embraced life. I wish I had done all that without alcohol, but I didn't. But I do feel like I miss that because I'm not doing that now. And maybe that's my age. Maybe it's because I've stopped so late that I've now got children who are teenagers and it's different. I don't want to do those things anymore. So that was my shot at it. That was my shot at being a teenager, someone in her 20s, 30s, moving around the world, partying. And I do miss that person, but I love the person I am now. And I think that's the difference because I'm proud of the person I am now. I'm not proud of that person I was. She was good fun. And I'm really glad that she managed to survive because there were lots of times when I didn't think she would, but she did. And I loved a lot of it, but I would not want to be her again, but I do miss her. So yeah, I thought we might say exactly those things and we have, but I think we probably both feel a bit of the same. We've just phrased it in a very different way, haven't we? But I didn't sit there thinking I'm drinking because I want to change myself. And I think you drank a lot to please other people for your anxiety. We drank for very different reasons.
We did.
I drank because I just felt a bit different to everyone and I loved the feeling and I wanted to get out there and, you know, it was just what I did. But I didn't need to drink to change anything. But drink was changing me. And that's what I couldn't see. And I couldn't see the extent of how much it was changing me. And I could not see the damage it was doing. And that's what I have now realized. It's interesting. It does make me feel quite emotional as well, thinking back, because we've changed so much. And actually, if we hadn't changed so much, it wouldn't be emotional. So there's your proof for all of those questions. There's the answer. That's how big this is.
Bigger than, I mean, I think we do a pretty good job describing it, but I still feel like it's one of those things until you've lived it. It's like pregnancy, right? Like before you got, everyone's like describing it and they're like, oh, the love you're going to feel for your baby. And you're like, yeah, you know, and then like you're like, oh my God, no one told me that. Like they tried to tell me, but no one actually told me how much I was going to love this little creature that I created, you know, like the love just beams out of you. It's that kind of thing. Everyone can sit here and tell you their story and how much it's changed them. But your story may have some similarities, but there's going to be other things that are going to be so different. But it's that same feeling, but it's for yourself. There's this love that you didn't know could be so deep and existent for yourself. And that's what keeps you going. That's what keeps you sober. Thanks for tuning in. We're just two women from opposite sides of the pond striving to shed light on the negative impacts of alcohol. Quick heads up, we're not licensed therapists or doctors. If alcohol is seriously affecting your mental or physical health, seek professional help.
And don't forget to hit that follow button to catch all of our future episodes. If you think our podcast could make a difference to someone you know, share the love. And hey, leaving a 5-star review will really help the Sober Effect reach more fantastic people like you. So thank you.